So hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Dirt Hub Show, presented by myself, Paul Luton. Today we are joined by international 6 days Enduro Team GB boss, Jamie Lewis. Jamie Lewis took over from the departed Daryl Bolter, who guided the team to victory last year in France. Jamie talks to us about the challenges this year of getting the team to Argentina, what's involved with the ISDE, the many people that help the team, and also his team selection. So, without further ado, let's crack on with the interview. So, I am joined by Team GB ISD manager Jamie Lewis. So, welcome to the show, bud.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, busy time for you. Obviously, lots going on. Big build-up to Argentina, which isn't really that far away. Teams have been announced. Lots going on. So what at the moment is, you know, your big focus right now, obviously having taken the job not that long ago, really?
Yeah, well, from the start, it's been really busy, to be honest. Like, we've needed so much money to get the team out to Argentina. From the start, it's been, you know, initially it was just dedicated to fundraising. And that's gone really well. You know, so many people have come on board, helped us out and different things. But the focus have switched the last few weeks. We've got the container being sent on the 20th of August. So all the focus at the moment is just preparing the container, getting everything we need. Set, you know, being in touch with all the teams, getting the bikes created up, all the spares, listing the parts, you know, for customs, organising all the rider sort of clothing, jerseys, helmet, just, yeah, it's non-stop. It's a really busy time for us at the moment. But we're on countdown now for the container to leave in just a few weeks. So hopefully, once we get that sent off, things will quieten down maybe a little bit. But as it goes, we're flat out at the moment.
Yeah, and we will go through the team selections in a second. But, you know, I've got to ask you, because if you look at it, last year, obviously, title-winning team, made history and all of that in France, and you've taken over with that expectation and you've got to organize it all to go to Argentina. What made you do it?
It was a bit of a, well, I wouldn't say last minute, but it was a little bit of a phone call out of the blue, really. Obviously Daryl stepped down, so they were looking really for another sort of rider to fill the role. I think the riders do sort of respond better to sort of past riders who've done it before and different things. So the team were looking for another rider to sort of represent as the manager. I had the phone call, and obviously I obviously love the sport myself, and they sounded like they were, you know, pretty desperate to get somebody in place. And I had a little think about it, and after a few days I thought, well, why not? Let's get stuck in and get the ball rolling and try and get them out to Argentina.
Yeah, exciting times from that, from your angle. And yeah, you know, we have got, you know, we did discuss off air that, you know, our nation is a hotbed of the sport. We've got a massive amount of talent, whether it be, you know, sprint enduro, you know, enduro GP, extreme enduro. You know, we are a massive enduro nation. So, you know, what we achieved last year really was, I wouldn't say it was expected, but, you know, it's been coming a long time because of that. Do you think because of that it's making your job easier or harder being champions? You know, are the expectations higher now because of that, or has it opened doors for you?
I'm not really sort of feeling the pressure from last year's result. The focus initially was let's focus on getting the team to the event to start with, because like the money we need to get out there is, you know, it's, well, we need 160,000 to get the team there. And, you know, to be fair, the ACU helps out the mass, you know, a massive amount. They give us somewhere like 25% of what we need. So there's still a massive amount of money to find to get us out there. So initially, the focus was on trying to find the money to get the team there. And I think for us, you know, we've just got a small group of volunteers like myself who are out fundraising, trying to get the money in to send the team. So for me is going to be, you know, it's going to be a really big achievement just to get the team out there. And a good result is just going to be a bonus, really, you know. And like you said, we've got the best riders. We've got the best riders in the world. And like this year, we've got an exceptional team yet again with the women, the juniors and the men. So I'm really excited and looking forward to seeing what they can do.
Yeah, no, cool. And you know, let's have a little look at the teams. The juniors, you've got Harry Edmondson in there, obviously riding very well in the GPs. You've got Max Ingham. Is it Ingham?
Yeah, Max Ingham.
Yeah, and Charlie, and I never know how to say his surname. Is it Cater or Chater?
Chater.
Yeah. And I've seen him in the sprint enduros. He is rapid. So you've got three really good young guns. Obviously, just finished off the box last year. You know, expectations, you know, for the next batch of riders coming through must be high, but it's probably all about the experience more so for those guys.
Yeah, we've got two of the riders have done previous ISDs. Obviously, Harry is a Grand Prix regular, so he's got plenty of experience. Obviously, he's on the pace. He's running top 10 in the Grand Prix. Charlie's doing really well in the British scene. You know, he's a top 10 contender in the British stuff. Good experience. And then you've got Max, sort of new to enduro, but, you know, so much potential with Max. And already this year in special tests, he's really showing, you know, what he's capable of. And I think they've got a good chance of being in the top three and getting on the podium.
And I think, you know, a lot of it as well, when I did an interview with Steve Holcomb earlier in the year, and it was really interesting, to be fair. And that came from speaking to him at the, you know, the ISDE sort of celebration at the ACU. I was chatting away and I thought, I wish I'd recorded this because I learned so much. There's so much that goes into learning the tests. There's so much walking. There's so much preparation that, you know, for the young guys to see how it's done, to learn that, must be invaluable because, yeah, it blew my mind what Steve Holcomb told me about how much goes into the preparation of learning everything beforehand.
Yeah, well, a lot of people probably don't realise, but a lot of the top riders will walk, you know, one of the special tests a minimum of three times. And some of these tests, they can take from 2 to 3 hours, you know, a test to walk. So they've got to walk it a minimum three times. And these top riders will learn, like you find it hard to believe, but they will learn every single corner in that test. And not just the corner, they'll remember if there's a tree stump or an inside rut or any of these little details. And yeah, if they walk a test and they focus, and they'll remember every single corner. And during 6 days, obviously, they can be anywhere from 9, 12, 15 special tests. So the first week of ISD is massive. Like the amount of distance they walk through the test, like the first week is bloody just as hard as the second week for them.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that, you know, I've learned about it is that obviously you guys go out there a long time before, so it's not just about funding the riders during that 6 days. There's a massive amount of preparation to get the riders there early, to walk the tests, everything else that goes with it, isn't there?
Yeah, like usually we try and get them out there a week before, and throughout that week, depending on how many tests there are, like you said, they got to walk every test a minimum of three times, and yeah, it takes the majority of the week, and yeah, the time of year the 6 day usually runs is usually very hot. This year we're expecting it to be very hot, so it's tough. It's a tough week, you know, before the event actually starts.
Yeah, for sure. I know a lot to think about. Like you said, a lot of pre-planning goes into it. We'll have a look at the women's team. Obviously, reigning champions, Rosie Rower, Neve Holmes and Elizabeth Tett in the team. Two riders that won the title last year. No Jane Daniels this year. Is there any reason? Is that a team thing? Or is she taking a slightly different direction? Because I've seen she's doing some of the rally championships. Hello, you still there?
Hello, sorry, you broke up, yeah.
Sorry, yeah, so I was just saying about, obviously, the women's team. We've got Rosie Rower, Neve Holmes, Elizabeth Tett. Jane Daniels is not there at this one. And as I was saying, I've seen her ride that looks like she's riding in the World Rally Championships and things like that. Has she taken a slightly different direction with her career?
Yeah, unfortunately, we're going to miss Jane this year. She's she got plans to ride the Dakar, and I think the week of the 60, she's actually racing a rally that she needs to ride to qualify for Dakar. So, unfortunately, she's going to miss the event this year. But, yeah, we're excited to bring another rider on board and give them experience. You know, we need to bring riders through so we got someone coming through for the following years. But the two, like you said, the two riders, Niamh and Rosie, they're currently running top three, top five in the world at the moment. So between them two and Elizabeth Tess riding really well at the moment, we've got a really good team, you know, with the women.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, you've got two riders that had the experience and they were good last year as well. They've gone good form this year. So, you know, hopes have got to be high in that class for sure.
Yeah, hopefully if they can perform like they are in the World Championships. Rosie's had a few podiums this year. She's won a couple of tests outright. And Niamh's knocking on the door as well. She's had a few top fives in the Grand Prix. So between them two, and hopefully Elizabeth can step up and perform, you know, I can't see why they couldn't win or at least start a podium again.
No, which would be amazing. Last year, obviously, was history making, the first time the women have won. We'll have a look at the men's team now. So Nathan Watson in there, Jamie McCanny, Jed Etchells, Alex Snow. Jed Etchells last year was, you know, for me, was the standout guy. Obviously, he was drafted into the trophy team from the juniors. And his career just really sort of seemed to have gone upwards since then, really.
Yeah, so we've got the three riders, Jamie, Nathan and Jed, currently riding top 10 in the World Championships outright. So between them three, and then our last minute rider coming on board was Alex Snow. Alex was last year's British champion and, you know, a real professional. And I think Alex is such a strong rider that's come on board. I honestly think we can look to be winning again with the four riders we got.
Yeah, for sure. There's experience there, isn't there? But you've got Jed as well in the mix. It's just, you know, there is that experience there. But like you said, everybody at the moment is performing. You know, we you know, you look at Enduro GP and obviously you always think of Steve Holcomb and Brad Freeman, but the other guys are there. They're all up there, you know, within that top 10. So we have got such a depth of riders, haven't we?
Yeah, it is a shame that the two Beat the Factory riders didn't sort of want to ride this year in the team, but you know, we've got such a strong team without them. It's not too disappointed. I'm really excited with the team we've got, and I really think we can do well with them.
Yeah, and you know, on that note, obviously with Steve Holcomb and Brad Freeman not in the lineup, was that a rider choice or a team choice not to take part?
No, it's obviously a rider choice. We'd love to have the two sort of, as I would class them, the two sort of best riders in the world, but you can't make people go to 6 days. Like, we'd love to have taken them there, but yeah, unfortunately they didn't want to ride this year. You know, it's a personal choice. But yeah, we're excited with the team we got and really looking forward to it.
I said, you've got four guys that want to go, that are keen, they've got the experience, yeah, exactly. They've got the speed. So, you know, all guns blazing. Obviously, anything can happen. It is such a crazy 6 days, isn't it? You know, one good day can change it. One bad day, it fluctuates the whole time. So, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of luck is involved in the 6 days. Like, it doesn't just come down to the riders. One small little tip over or anything can just put a rider out and the whole team's finished. It's, you know, we do need a lot of luck on your side. But yeah, they, you know, a lot of experience between the four. They know how to do the job. Just hopefully, you know, everything goes well for them and they can produce a good result.
Yeah, and that's it. And, you know, there's a couple of things else I wanted to ask about was, after the support team, you know, the riders, mechanics and that, how important that is. Because there's certain elements that people can't help with, isn't there, of this? You know, obviously the riders have to do a lot of it themselves, don't they? Can you explain a little bit more about that for me?
Yeah, so the 6 days is slightly different. The mechanics, are only allowed to do fluids on the bike, so the mechanic can put fuel in, he can bleed the brake, and I think he can top the oil up. But it's very, the bare minimum. They can literally do sort of then maybe three or four jobs. Just, and then it's all down to the rider. Literally, the mechanic can't even hold the bike. You know, if anybody gets caught holding the bike, you get excluded. So it's good. You know, it does, you do have to have a lot of sort of mechanical, you know, background to get your bike to finish the 6 days. You know, the riders come in every day. They want tyres front and back, new air filters, nut and bolt checks, and that's as long as they haven't broken anything on the bike, and they'd have to fix that on top, so they get 15 minutes to do all this work in. They got to be pretty sharp with the tools. It's tough. Like on the Wednesday, so halfway through the week, they got to change the engine oil on top of everything else. So it's quite a nerve-wracking part of the day to make sure everybody gets through the service on time and gets checked in and doesn't lose any time.
So once they finish the final test, they get 15 minutes to service their own bike, essentially.
Yeah, and they get 15 minutes, but that's from sort of the end of the paddock. So in the 15 minutes, you've got to ride into the paddock, find the, obviously, where your team is based, work on the bike. But obviously, we got every rider's got a mechanic there, and they literally handing them every tool they need. So like they're helping as much as they can without actually touching the bike. So everything's laid out, tires, mousses, everything's in place, ready. And then they've got to ride out of the paddock to the finish. So you get a little bit less than the 15 minutes.
So, you know, in that respect, you know, there's a different mindset to your selection sometimes, because, like I said, you need riders that can do that, you know, because I can't, obviously, you know, just thinking about enduro and motocross people I know, there's not many people will be able to do that in 15 minutes. So, you know, that's a different skill set completely, isn't it?
Yeah, but these riders we're taking, a lot of them have done it before, and they know they've got to work on their own bikes. You know, they're practicing through the year doing tyres. Like, I think you've got to be able to do at least one of the tyres in less than 2.5 minutes, you know, to be confident in doing all of the work in the 15 minutes. So they all know what's expected of them, and everybody we've got are really confident in their abilities on working on the bike as well.
Cool. So who's the fastest you've ever seen change a tyre?
I think everybody sort of knows him now as Billy's mechanic, Stan. He used to like to pride himself on being one of the fastest, quite funny. But to be fair to him, he was pretty quick. I'll give him that. So I'll go with Stan.
Stan the man, for sure. Yeah, no, that's cool. No, it's, like I said, that's a different element to enjoy. And you don't generally see that as much. And I have to say, Tilda Tire did a good job last year, the media, of feeding back a lot of great pictures of some of the stuff we don't normally see at the ISTE. So, you know, that was really good last year to see all that. So hopefully, you know, we get that input again from, you know, from the team from out in Argentina, because it did open my eyes a lot to the ISTE and shows what a massive event it is, how hard it is on all levels, to be fair. So, exciting. But there are a lot of people, obviously, behind the scenes that make this happen. I know you've got a title sponsor on board. So, you know, who's come on board as title sponsor this year?
So we've got, you might have seen him, he's quite heavily involved in the motocross, sponsoring the Kawasaki team with Tommy Searle. And he privately sponsors a lot of sort of single riders throughout the enduro scene as well. And it's a business called GTCI, and they're a building company, Kentway. I want to say a massive thanks to Nick at GTCI, because without the help of people like Nick, we just wouldn't be able to afford to go there.
No, fair play to Nick. Like you said, lots of sponsorship from Nick this year. You've seen the name quite a lot, actually. So really putting it into British sport. So fair play to Nick and the team there, because you know what, the sport can't run without people like that. You know, like you said, you know, for you to get to Argentina without people like Nick and GTCI, it would be impossible, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, literally the amount of people we have sort of relied on to help us is, yeah, like I said, it's cost in excess of 160,000, and you know, that's a lot of money to find just sort of ringing around, emailing, asking people for sponsorship. And you know, obviously in this day and age, money's quite tight at the moment for a lot of people, and it's been a big ask to try and raise it all. But luckily, a lot of the clubs have come on board and run fundraising days for us, and like they've been a massive help. And yeah, just it's not just one person. Without the whole sort of team and everybody who's come on board, whether it's been 50 quid or they've bought a T-shirt or they've come on as a title sponsor like Nick, you know, everybody's contributed to getting the team out there. So I want to say a massive thank you to everybody who's contributed in any way to the team.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, you've got clubs that there have been fundraising events. You've got volunteers that do a lot of work behind the scenes. It's a big collection of people, isn't it?
Yeah, like I think most people think it's sort of just like an ACU type of busman's holiday every year, but it's you couldn't have it any farther from the truth. We've got a really small group of people. Myself, Steve Hall, Mick Seward, Till, who we mentioned earlier, Till Tye, we've got Josie Morgan and Aidan Bowker. There's such a small group of us out trying to raise the money and do our bit. And it's all, we're all just volunteers doing it because we love the sport and just want to try and help the riders out and support the ISD, basically.
That's superb, and fair play to you all. And, you know, talking of, you know, supporting the sport, and what's going on, we were talking earlier, the Welsh enduro scene is booming at the moment, isn't it? And the youth scene as well, you know, fantastic entries. And you were saying about, you know, the terrain and everything. It's great experience for the riders, but it is really, for me, it's sort of the last 2 or 3 years that is really picked up, but this year seems even bigger. Do you know, why do you think that is? You know, because it's awesome to see.
I think, like, years ago, back in the day when sort of my father was riding, enduro was massive in Wales back then. I think it petered off a little bit, but it seems to be coming back, you know, so strong at the moment. But there's so many good clubs, you know, up in mid-Wales, and they've got some really good land and, you know, good landowners who are offering, you know, all the land for the enduros and the special tests. It's really come together, and there's some cracking events on. And I think, yeah, it's just going from strength to strength with, you know, enduro in general, because maybe, you know, we got so many good riders promoting it, so many youngsters are coming into the sport. Just the youth sort of days on the Saturdays are running are like bringing in massive numbers. And even on the Sunday with the adults, it's really booming at the moment, and it's really good to see.
Yeah, it is positive. And, you know, we've got Neil Hawker running the British now, so the Welsh Enduro doing well, you know, the Sprint Enduro Series. You know, there is a lot of good stuff going on right now in the UK. Hence, obviously, we're bringing through massive talent. So lots to be positive about. Obviously, a great result in Argentina would just, you know, just really be the icing on the cake for that.
Yeah, Neil's raised the profile in the British Championship this year. He's done a really good job. He's currently out in Romania. I've been watching his sort of progress today. Just sort of seen a photo of him at the finish earlier, made me chuckle a little bit. I think he's had a tough day, but no, he's done like wonders for the British Championship this year. Looks really good, and yeah, hopefully we can carry it on and have a really good ISD and finish the year off really well.
Cool, and just one more thing we did speak about was the potential of a British Enduro GP next year.
Yeah, there is talk about it up in mid-Wales, and if they could pull that off, it'd be awesome for the sport in this country. And I think it would sort of bring it back to a bit of an old school sort of enduro like they used to have back in the day. And yeah, it'd be really good to see it, and I hope it goes ahead, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it'd be amazing. You know, it's much needed, isn't it? Like we said, we are a hotbed for the sport. We have the best riders in the world. You know, we really should have a GP. we've got a Super Enduro coming here, haven't we? Super Enduro's come to Newcastle. Billy Bolt would be great to watch there in front of his home crowd. So Enduro GP would be amazing.
Yeah, like, you know, in the Super Enduro, you've got Billy and, like, all the Brits are just, you know, on the game in all the different sort of disciplines at the moment. So it's you know, it's really on the up with Billy sort of winning all the hard Enduro stuff. And you've got Steve and Brad at the front of the Enduro GP. It's really good. Really good to see at the moment.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us. And we wish you the best of luck in Argentina. Obviously, we will be keeping up with the progress, reporting on the progress leading up to it. Any fundraising and events that are going on pre-event as well. We wish you all the best of luck. And obviously, we'll keep up to date what's going on.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Jamie.
Okay. Cheers. See you soon.
Bye.